It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Yeah, I'm back. And guess what? How exciting. The new iPhone is... Oh, you already knew that. Well, I'm going to unbox it anyway. Mac Break Weekly, next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 371, recorded October 8th, 2013. Trojan Squirrel. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers the latest from Cupertino from Apple. I'm back. Thank you all for not leaving. But, you know, we had great co-hosts. Thank you, Andy and Renee, for filling in for me. Nice job, gentlemen.
Helio.
I think we demonstrated that the format is sturdy enough that even when we deliberately try to drive people away, they'll still be here. So
I think that's a good name for it. This is the show with a sturdy format.
A sturdy format.
Andy Anacco from the Chicago Sun-Times. Good to see you, my friend.
Oh, so good to see
and
you
after squirrels. A month away, Leo. I saw a squirrel in Troy. On the walls of Troy. I'll show you the picture later.
I went to school there.
Not Michigan. Not New York. Troy in the beautiful country of Turkey. Did you go to school there?
Well, I wasn't paying much attention during school, so I might as well have been in Turkey for all the professors prepared.
Thanks to Renee Ritchie for filling in, too, from iMore.com. Good to see you, Renee.
Thank you, Leo. Was it a Trojan squirrel, and did you let it in?
It was. Must have been a Trojan squirrel, and inside it was tiny little nuts. I had to check.
Show title.
You know, they don't really... By the way, Jason Stell from IDG, editorial director for both Macworld and PC World Magazine. Good to have you as well.
It's great to be here.
They don't really know that it's Troy. You know, Schliemann went. He said, I think it's Troy. He dug. They found walls. He said, it's Troy.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Let's go home.
And they make a big deal. Troy's like a layer cake. There's five layers, five different Troys built one on top of the other, and they make a big deal of that. But they all look like rubble to me. Mm. But the older rubble's a little more rubbly. Yes,
it's a little more rubble. It's historical, meaningful rubble. Come on.
And on the highest level, level six, there's a squirrel. had a wonderful trip, in case nobody's interested, but I'm ready to get back to work. And I understand that something happened with Apple during my vacation.
Something?
What?
Everything.
They denied that thing that everyone thought that they were doing.
But it wasn't true, and so we now know it is.
Turned out to be a rumor, but there could be more details to come.
Actually, the number one question.
Did you pick the wrong month to take off?
The number one question, did you guys get an invitation today?
I did not get an invitation today.
Because if they were going to do an event on October 15th, this would be the day.
Yeah, well, the day's not over yet, but yeah.
When did they do it last year?
Last year, it was, I think, 6 weeks after the event in the previous month. So we would be on track for 2 weeks from as we're recording this on the Tuesday.
And since you're going to Ireland.
And I'm supposed to be going to Ireland next week, so please don't have an Apple event next week. No, I think we're all hoping that it's going to be on the 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in there.
Renee, are you hearing any rumbling rumors?
Same thing as Jason. I mean, they do it like clockwork now. It's just a matter of when they have the products ready to show off.
It's not really clockwork because October 23rd, which was last year's event, was the first time they'd had a big event in October.
Yeah, this seems to be the new. I mean, they're
it's
changing things up a little bit, but it's
like
new
for 1 year,
and they can
well,
do
second
it.
Second
they used
clockwork.
To do it every 2 weeks of. They'd have 2 weeks where they would do a warning, and now it's down to a week.
Right.
Just to make it as inconvenient as possible for everybody who has to fly
right.
in.
And did they announce anything else while I was gone? I know we have a new phone, and I want to thank, by the way, Josh Windisch on my staff and his wife, Vanessa, who works at the Apple Store, who probably broke rules to squirrel aside.
No. Well, I'm sure it was all above board.
I pathed him.
I'm sure nobody did anything that would get them censured or fired from their job, Leo.
Absolutely
nothing
not.
Untoward.
No. She waited in line for me.
There you
but
go.
This is, I'm unboxing it right now. This is a 5S, the gold. And here I learned something interesting today. All of you manly men have gold iPhones.
Absolutely.
What is the story with that?
Well, it's Brian Klug is the only acceptable color.
Well, different. We know it's different, right?
I actually wanted gold, and you know, it is kind of pretty, isn't it?
It's more of a, it really is a very subtle, understated, not, it isn't a, hey, look how much money I have so much money, my phone is made out of gold. So it's a very classy sort of gold.
Yeah, it's not a super shiny. It's like, I mean, just like the silver one, this is the gold colored version of that. It's that textured kind of.
Yeah, it's a light yeah. gold. It's not like a warm, big, rich gold. It's just pretty.
Yeah.
It's totally distracts from gold. The fact that it's still a rounded rectangle, Leo. Totally distracts.
The gold ring around the home button puts it over the top.
And then this is, of course, the new...
Touch ID?
Is that what they call it?
Touch ID.
So, yeah. Of course, I was here when the announcements were made. I was here for that event. So what I didn't know is how well this Touch ID worked. We've had it for a while now. What do you think? Is the fingerprint sensor good?
Works like a charm for me.
It works really well, but you really have to do a good job, I think, when you set it up for the first time. Because I registered like my primary thumb kind of quickly in my excitement to get it to work. And after like 2 weeks later of saying, try again, I finally like wiped all my fingerprints, not off my hand off the device, and basically did a little bit more deliberately. Well, here's where I'm going to be hitting. Here's where how I'm typically going to be touching this button.
Now I'm doing something. Do you guys do this? I'm waiting till it's English. Do you guys do that? Because once it's English, then I can swipe it. I'm afraid if I swipe it when it's Korean,
it'll set the language.
It's just going to stay that way. Do you guys do that, or is that just me?
That's you.
I found the first Touch ID setup awkward, Leo. Like, I wasn't used to it. I didn't know what I was quite doing. It would vibrate. I'd pull my finger off too fast. I'd put it back too slow. It took me a while. The second and third time were far better than the first.
Yeah, I agree. It was. It tries to explain what you need to do, but it you've got to. You know, I was like, tap. No, that's not how you do it. You got to be patient.
Slow down.
And it reads it once, and then it actually tells you, okay, now shift your position and so that you can get the other, you know, the corners of your print so that if you're in any kind of weird angle, it's smart. I like how they did it. It's very friendly, and it works pretty well. Yeah.
It's also nice enough to tell you that when you're trying to register your fingerprint, if you're not giving it what it needs, it will actually say, hold it longer now. Okay, hold it again. So
it's the same passive disappointment as original GPS systems would give.
Is it going to do that at some point now?
You have to set it up so when you get through everything, it'll ask you to. If you want to turn on your passcode, and then you can have it also remember a thumbprint at that point. Right. It's tied to the passcode. You have to have a passcode as well. So you've got another method of authentication.
That four-digit passcode.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have to be a four-digit passcode. In fact, when I turned on Touch ID, I went from a four-digit passcode up to a much more complicated password because I don't need to enter it very often. So I think it's actually more secure in that way because my alternate password is much better than the old four-digit PIN code that I used to use.
Pardon me for covering old material because I know you probably talked about this.
It's new to you.
It's new to me, but I'm the only one it's new to.
And it's not like it's like the entire world seems to think that everybody buys a brand new iPhone the first week of release, and then it ceases to become of interest to anybody.
Yeah, we're done. What's next? What's new?
We're only arriving in October, Leo. This is new for everybody.
Well, and that was why I was so pleased that Josh put one aside for me, because I did try to order it, and it said sometime in October. And I thought, well, God, I don't know if I want to be that out of the loop. Faster? Yes. Noticeably
super
so.
Faster.
Super faster.
Best device for iOS 7, I think, so far.
Well, and I noticed that the iOS 7 camera is much different. I was able to get iOS 7 on my iPad mini, which I took with me, and on my iPhone, my old iPhone 5. The camera is so much different, but I think it's made for this camera, right?
Yeah, I think the processor has a lot to do with it. The DSP, the signal processor in the chip that's in the 5S, they're using that a lot. There's a lot of back-end processing happening in terms of what they're focusing on and low light, and it's doing a lot of really intelligent stuff, plus the new flash. The processor is not...
The new flash?
Is
there's
part
flash
of the story.
On here finally? No, a flash.
There's two flashes now.
The double LED, flash.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it's now asking me to set up Touch ID. So I'll do that, right?
Yeah.
Scan the finger or thumb you normally use on the home button. I'm a lefty, so I just put it there. Okay. Lift and rest your finger repeatedly. And as I do that, it's filling in the little whorls and loops. Now, somebody told me it's only taking 9 points of similarity, which gives it more reliability. It then hashes those. It doesn't store an image. Actually, it was my friend Chamala, who's a Turkish podcaster, who's also a security expert and has used fingerprint readers for a long time. He said, for that reason, it's more reliable.
Right.
But the potential for a collision is higher.
Right. One in 50,000.
So big deal, right? Big deal. Yeah. I mean, what's the chance that one of that 50, that other 50 guy in the 50,000 is a crook?
That's basically the same chances that you'll have an evil doppelganger anyway.
Right.
you find your fingerprint twin.
So I've lifted and rested my finger on the home button repeatedly.
And now
adjust
it'll, yes,
my grip.
Change your grip.
What the hell does that mean?
Just hold it. Hold the phone a little differently because chances are you
should
just
I use a different finger?
No, no, not same yet. Finger.
No, no, same
so
finger.
So I'm now stuck with this finger forever.
Well, no, because it'll remember.
Oh, because it's a different angle.
Yeah, that's right. It. Because you don't always use the exact same angle. So it once
can I do my right finger? I've now committed
yes,
to my left.
It remembers
finger.
Up to five.
Five.
So this will just be your first one.
Shirley Bassey's left success. Finger was the one that didn't make it as a hit. Touch ID is ready. Your print can be used. Continue.
Now
I have to do a passcode, which I will do. Don't look.
And it's very,
one,
very
two,
smart.
Three,
because
four.
1, 2, 3, 4. That, no, but if that's you, nobody would to, guess that, I don't think.
Yeah. We won't tell.
I like the way that they've really defined the fingerprint as a secondary sort of thing. Really, the passcode is still your primary. And if you have not used your fingerprint in a while, or if you've restarted the phone or a couple other situations, it will ask for your passcode before it will let you use the
interesting.
Fingerprint again.
So that yeah. passcode is not just a backup, a fallback. It's really
right.
part
it's still
of
your primary.
Yeah, I think
if
that's
you
good.
Reboot 48 yes. hours have passed since you last used it, or you fail five times, it'll ask you for your passcode okay. again.
So that's it. Now, if I lock this phone, now the next time I do this to unlock it, I just slide it.
Well, that's to put in the passcode, or you can just
or just do this.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And Leo, if you pulled it, if
demons,
you lock it again and then put down
sorcery.
Notification center.
If I do that again,
yeah,
and now I do the...
Now pull down notification center first.
Yeah.
Now you can watch the icons fly in from underneath notification center, like all the cool kids.
Watch the icons...
Put your thumb on
put
it
put your
now.
Thumb back on it.
Woo!
Oh, I saw them kind of underneath in the translucency.
Yeah.
I have to say, of all the things on iOS 7 I'm not thrilled about is the... There's a lot of... flying in of icons.
Yeah, and that's why I think that a lot of people who are thrown off by iOS 7, if you try it on the 5S, that's the first machine I think that's designed so that where the animation is so smooth and so natural.
It's better.
That it seems to make sense. Right. On my iPads and on my earlier generation iPhones,
right.
It's not like it's terrible, but there's enough of a hesitation, there's enough of a stutter that I'm noticing things moving in as opposed to
it's more
to simply,
annoying. Okay, you're right. It is not so annoying on this.
Yeah, it turns out there's an uncanny valley for these kind of animations.
Isn't that funny?
And this one can manage it.
Here's the other thing I'm not crazy about. I'd like to get your take.
Yeah,
I'm not crazy about the
drawer
folders.
Stays open. I hate it. I hate it. It's
okay.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's a mistake. They need to fix it.
Okay.
This idea that it's like they've forgotten that when the only thing the folders are good for are for launching apps from.
Yeah.
And it's not as though, well, I of course I want to see all the other driving games that are in my folder when I quit out of that one. It's just
yep.
a terrible
the home
idea.
Button should be sacrosanct. The home button should take me back to the home
yes.
screen.
Yes.
And now whether you're in a folder or a newsstand, that's the one that gets me is I'm reading an app in newsstand and I press the button to go back to switch to another app and it shows me newsstand.
Don't want that.
And then I have to press it again to
that.
Go back out. And that's not how the home
don't
button
like
should work.
That.
It's not
so
a
just to explain what to, so people see what I'm talking what we're talking about for those of you watching. So I opened the extras folder and I opened the calculator. Now home should and has always in the past brought us home. Instead, it brings us back to the folder.
Yeah.
I'm also not crazy about the folder layout. I feel like it's a kind of waste of space. Although I learned, which is kind of cool, that you can have multiple pages in a folder.
Yeah.
Which is kind
that's
of an interesting
thing.
Idea. Right? That could be useful. But I'm not crazy about the waste of space there. I feel like that's not – it could be a little – but that's a minor.
Sure. This is such a rethink for Apple that there are lots of things
There's
that are weird
be,
about it
yeah.
that
yeah.
one would hope they will yeah. be fixing in future yeah. updates. But, you know, they it's very different. And
you know what
quirks,
I really like?
Edges,
I really sure. like the multitasking. This is a really nice way to handle
yeah.
that.
It's very WebOS, right?
Oh, have we seen this before? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I like the icons. I think the icons help a lot. The thumbnail,
yeah,
because the ability to swipe these off, or another thing I just learned, multi-swipe them off.
Yeah, the whole hold down until it starts to jiggle, and then there's a little tiny X. I mean, that's such an unfriendly
it wasn't
behavior.
Good. This is
and
better.
This
yeah.
is
well,
much
it's,
more
yeah, it's prejudiced against the idea that you would ever force quit an app. Whereas people just seem to think are more naturally proposed to think that hey, I'm done with this. I want this gone now. The other cool thing is I didn't notice until I was using it for a day or two is that those previews are actually live. So if you're playing a video, will actually see the video continue to play as you cycle through that way.
I do think the camera is superlative. And as much as I've used the other cameras, Moto X had an update. That's what I took on my trip. There's nothing like the iPhone 5, and the 5S is even better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they made so many steps forward. There's only one step backward. The reason why I have this up here is that the burst mode is more useful and more significant on the iPhone than it is on any other camera phone, because this will simply shoot 2 frames per second at the exact same quality it shoots every other picture. And I actually shot a video of how long can you hold down that button. So it got 200. And when I got back home, I was actually timing it out. It shot 230 something shots at 10 frames per second, and then it slowed down to about 7 or 8, and it kept on that until about 500, at which point I got bored and stopped. But I'm sorry, what I'm getting at is that every time you're shooting an uncooperative subject, or you're chasing your kid around and the kid is not going to stop and please stand still, please do this, or you got a group shot of 4 or 5 people and not everybody has their eyes open at the same time, this idea of like holding the phone up and clicking one picture, that's done on the 5S. You will almost always want to shoot a burst of 10 or 12 because one of these 10 shots is going to be perfect. I was shooting a burst of the squirrel in the tree. And of 30 shots, there happened to be 2 in which the pose was kind of okay, and the subject was sharp, because this was like just a half an hour before sunset. But if you get one shot at it, you're probably going to miss it. But if you take a burst of 10 or 20, you're probably going to find at least one frame that's going to be pretty good. There's still one problem that I found with it. I don't know why, but it loves low ISOs. It will do anything. It will sell its first child on eBay to take a picture with a low ISO.
But it's because it's less grainy. You want it to do that, right?
Well, it's a little bit. It's going to be a little bit more grainy at a higher ISO. But the problem is that it's saying, well, you're inside a library in a sort of a dimly lit reading hall. I can shoot at 64 ISO, can't I? I'm going to shoot a 64 ISO. I'm going to shoot a 64 ISO, and the shutter speed is going to be 1/15th of a second. So hold it real, real steady. Yeah. Well, I can't hold it that steady. So that's why there are a lot of shots in which, if not for the fact that it was going for 64 or 100 ISO and a long exposure of like 1/30th or 1/15th, it would have taken a better picture than most of the other phones.
Is there no way to overrule that?
None that I know of. The only trick that I've kind of found that kind of works is that I haven't certified this yet, but I noticed that when I use the flash, it tends to go for a shorter shutter speed. But there's no way to force it to go for a shorter speed.
Yeah, sometimes if you tap and hold on a really dark area, you force it to adjust to the darkness, and it will actually crank the ISO. Is that down or up? Up. So, up. But it's finicky. It definitely is finicky.
Yeah. That's the one thing I wish they'd fix.
I'm holding it wrong. Oh, there. Okay. Took 4
tries. We have a new. We're holding it wrong.
You're used to it. Touching it wrong.
Yeah. But I want to program maybe this finger too, in case, right? My index finger.
Up to 5. I've got 4 of them.
2 thumbs and an index finger.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you'll discover is all the different ways you happen to pick up your phone.
Yeah, I just discovered that. Yes, you're right.
Right. Yeah. Right? So I did my left thumb first, and then I used it for a little while, and I went, oh, also right index finger. And then I put it down on my kitchen counter and realized I was waking it up with my right thumb. And it turns out I have 4 really common different ways based on where the phone is that I pick up the phone. I had no idea.
So I can add it says fingerprint 1, and I can now add fingerprint 2. Now
okay. One of the nice things about that screen is if you touch your thumb to it, it'll highlight.
It says, oh, that's fingerprint 1.
So you can actually see touch which one is which.
Yeah. Let me do that again. That's cool. Yeah, that's finger 1.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what finger 2 is? No, I'm not going
to. But there's no
people know me a little too well, don't they?
They know what finger 2 is.
They know what finger 2 is. So now I'm going to do my index finger because I want to be able to do that as well. I notice when I want to take a picture, that's kind of how I hold my phone up. All right. So I have noticed that in general, the feeling is that people are very happy. Is any negatives? Well, there was the security issue. So let's talk about that. In fact, Renee Ritchie, you wrote iMore. Was it you that wrote that article at iMore?
Yes, yep.
I saw the article in which you said the media got it wrong and made it a security problem when it wasn't one, in fact, at all. Now, I avoided that. I've already updated between the time I left, there have been three versions of iOS 7, 7.02. Alex Lindsay always said, don't use the first version of any Apple OS. Don't use the second version. Use the third that fixes the problems that the second version added when it fixed the problems with the first version. By the third, by 7.02, it's going to be good. So now's the time.
It wasn't so much the updates. It was just iPhone 5S has these new security features, and it has lots of them, like activation lock and like Touch ID and trusted machine. But it also has a ton of new convenience features like Control Center. And you have to choose as a responsible adult user whether you want a really convenient iPhone, a really secure iPhone, or some middle ground. And the problem with the reporting is that they were phrasing it in such a way that I was getting continual letters from people like, oh, Touch ID doesn't work. I'm turning it off. I'm not going to have a passcode anymore. Or this is a security flaw. They were making choices that degraded their security due to misinformation that was being presented about it. And for example, you can use Control Center to put your iPhone in airplane mode from the lock screen. And people were afraid that thieves would steal their iPhones, put it in airplane mode, and they couldn't track it.
Yeah.
You can disable that very easily in the settings. You can turn Siri off so that Siri only works from the lock screen with Touch ID enabled. There's all these different settings you can use. But
that's always been a problem. Siri was always accessible from the lock screen unless you disabled it. That's not new.
And now if you disable it, it's only accessible from the lock screen with Touch ID, which I think is a much better choice. And there were several things like Touch ID can be foiled. Well, yes, if you have a CSI level person who goes to the trouble of duplicating your fingerprint in a multi-step, non-trivial process, and then happens to get physical access to your phone within the 48-hour window of you last using it with a finger. But it wasn't reported that way. It was just reported as, Apple is doomed, this stuff doesn't work, and that caused a lot of problems.
You would certainly recommend 7.02, especially if you're Greek, because apparently you couldn't, the Greek language didn't work properly. And I was in Greece. Who knew? By the way, a little observation as I'm going around, and I think this is going to be very interesting to see what happens. Until we got to Turkey, where a lot of people had iPhones, almost everybody had Nokia phones. I can't tell you how many times I heard do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Not only did they have Nokia phones, they hadn't updated their ringtone. It's like everybody. And of course, it's because they're less expensive. They're cheap kind of candy bar phones. And I really wonder, with Microsoft buying Nokia, what's going to happen in that world? And that may be a huge opportunity for Apple. I think that's why analysts are saying, do a cheap phone, Apple. And that I think maybe it's even more urgent because Nokia's basically, I think, going to kill that market. Right? So anyway, just an observation from being somewhere besides the U.S.,
I just think that we don't pay enough attention to the I don't care segment of the market, the people for whom a phone is just a practical device that they have absolutely no emotional connection to.
Yeah. And so in Turkey, a lot of people had iPhones. It was very interesting. Yeah.
I will note that my mother, who's had a candy bar phone for her entire life, asked me today what I was doing with my iPhone 5C when I finished reviewing it.
Yeah. There's a market.
It is Warhol for her. It is the pop art iPhone.
Oh, that's interesting. It is, isn't it? All right, so battery life. Last question. Battery life.
I find that it's as good as the iPhone 5. However,
that's disappointing.
You're not used to the fact that iOS 7 has different sets of defaults than iOS 5. Than iOS 6 did. So I was getting not as good battery life until I went in and changed all the Wi-Fi settings back to the way that I had them before. All the other notification things set back to the way I had before. Okay. So I think that it's as good as the iPhone 5 running iOS 6.
That's good enough.
Apple seems to be optimizing for the idea that you leave the house in the morning, you work and use a phone a little bit while you're out, and then you come home at night and plug it back in. And
not when you go to bed, but before you.
Evening, that works for me. I have almost never had it drop off before I got home at the end of the day. But that's what they're. Well,
I want 18 hours.
This is what Apple. But Apple doesn't want to give you a thick phone with a big battery. I mean,
like this?
Yeah, they want to optimize for
such a thick phone with such a big battery.
Yeah, I know. It's sickening to even look at it.
It's so thick. So Moto X absolutely gets. I get all day. I mean, until I go to bed that night.
Yeah, well, I usually do, too. I think there are some quirks in iOS 7, too, where apps can run in the background now, truly run in the background.
Yeah.
And occasionally I will get a misbehaving app, and that will lead to trouble.
That'll kill you. But that happens everywhere.
But Apple obviously is going to solve for what it thinks is the right amount of battery, and no more because they don't want to make it any bigger or any heavier.
Okay, so good enough, not great. Because didn't they put, isn't like 10% more battery in there? Isn't there more battery in that?
Yeah, but it's doing more stuff.
It's busier.
And it's got more background.
Much faster.
Stuff now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you switch from one app to another, it's doing so much graphics. Yeah. It's
you didn't mean like, you meant that, not the desktop
Sure,
background.
The parallax too, yes. Every time you turn.
Which makes the phone so much easier to use. I mean, I was so confused by not knowing if it's at this angle versus that angle that the icons were not actually part of the desktop wallpaper. Now it's very, very clear to me.
Pretty.
They are trying to save power with some of the sensors. Like, it's sensing... The 5S is sensing when it's sort of like put away somewhere and not hasn't moved lately, and it actually scales back the amount of polling it does on the network because it figures nobody's looking at me, nobody's holding me, I might as well slow down a little bit. So they are trying to be more active at that stuff.
I'm not going to keep looking for Wi-Fi hotspots if I'm not moving around, all that kind of stuff. I really think that, I mean, I hold to what I was saying a couple of weeks ago that I think the 5S and iOS 7 are exciting things today, but they're even going to be more exciting 5 or 6 months from now, both when the apps come out that are really optimized towards this hardware and this operating system, and also when Apple comes out with whatever they might be coming out with to really exploit that M7 coprocessor. Because that's it's good that you're also holding up the Moto X. I think that the two of the most exciting phones of the year, or the greatest features that I've never seen before 2013, are all due to an ability to have a processor that does nothing but maintain an awareness of what context, what physical context is the phone in right now, and the ability to say, hey, I'm being taken out of a pocket, I should go into a slightly lower power mode right now that will just give someone a piece of information that will cause them to say, okay, no need to wake up the CPU, I can put this right back in my pocket now. So I think there's going to be some exciting stuff coming in 2014.
So everybody in the chat room wants to talk about the compass being off. Like, is that a big deal?
No, so the digital compasses are never ever right. They're always, you know, they've been terrible. You used to have to fling your hand in a figure eight all the time. The iPhone 5S is consistently different than the previous iPhones by about 2 degrees, 3 degrees on the level, and a few degrees on the compass, which is probably, you know, software calibration fixable. It's just differently wrong than all the other.
That's bad though if you're using the level to hang pictures, because all your pictures will be tilted.
But as long as they're tilted the same, Leo.
Although if it helps at all, the top and the side, they're still a perfect right angle. So if you want to use it as a tri-square when you're doing some framing,
it does work for that.
Still work. Exactly.
Yeah.
The one thing I really love, Leo, is that they're doing this thing almost like just-in-time multitasking. Because for a long time in computers, they would just multitask all the time. And now they're getting so smart, they can say, oh, Leo checks the news in the morning.
Yes.
Leo doesn't care if we're on all the time or on 2 seconds before he picks it up, as long as it's there when he picks us up.
There's a huge amount to be gained by intelligent software and intelligent design.
Well, iOS 7 enables some of that stuff that has frustrated. Like, I have a Kindle. And the physical Kindle, you get the newspaper, it is auto-delivered over Wi-Fi in the morning, so that if you walk out the door with your Kindle and get on the bus and there's no Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter that the paper is there.
Yeah.
Well, now with iOS 7, that's never been possible on the iPad or the iPhone for the Kindle, because it doesn't – it's just an app. It can't do that in the background. And now with iOS 7, they don't do it yet, but I assume that Amazon will update it to do that. And there, you know, all sorts of apps that you think, like Instapaper, Pocket does this right now, where if you add a story to Pocket,
I love that.
The Pocket app on iOS 7 automatically loads it. You don't have to go there and wait for it to load in all the stuff you're saving. It saves it. If you walk out the door and lose your connection, you got all the stuff. So Andy's exactly right. In the next 6 months, we're going to see a lot of really cool apps that are enabled by the stuff that's in iOS 7.
Yeah. I did read, and I thought this was great. Of course, this week was the second anniversary of the death of Steve Jobs, a great loss. And the New York Times ran what I hope will be the first in a long series of articles by one of the original iPhone designers about the behind the scenes. If you haven't read it, it was in Sunday's Times. Unbelievable. Fabulous. And what it really underscored for me is how tough this was to do.
Golden path.
It just amazing. And so here we are. It's only, 6 years later. And I really ought to know what time I wake up. For crying out loud, the way he describes, let me find the article, because it's such a great article. The way he describes, just the issues The radios didn't work. Nothing worked. In fact, there was a, what you said, golden path? Is that what they called it?
Yeah. You had to do everything in the precise order or the phone would crash.
There was a sequence. Because keep in mind, this is a cutting-edge product, the likes of which had never been seen before.
There were only six of them.
And they're demoing it more than 6 months before it's done.
Right.
That product, because I held one of those, and I think Andy did too. And there were six of them, it turns out, and it worked. But you know, they were ready to spring into action if you did anything wrong, because
they were just
tied together with baling wire.
I was surprised to read about that because.
This is not the article to show. Let's show the New York Times article. Let me find that.
Anything that seemed particularly dangerous, they had removed from the demo iPhone that I got.
The only thing I was trying to remember what my experience. I had about a half hour to 45 minutes in that room with them, and the only thing that I tried to use that was not functional was the Notes app.
It was just
a screenshot. But the thing was, I think that they also the phone app also didn't work. But it wasn't as though I couldn't use the web. It wasn't as though I couldn't drill down into apps. So it was. But this is not the case of just somebody behind closed doors who they're already trusting to not be a bozo.
Sure.
And say, oh well, the hardware that I used 6 months before release was a little bit buggy, and make a big issue of it. But it really does impress you as how much was set to go wrong. One of the coolest takeaways of that article was that they had actually hard coded the signal strength to always read 5 bars because they did not want to take a risk that anybody would say, oh well, I'm almost getting 2 or 3 bars in the middle of San Francisco.
Those snarky journalists sitting in the audience.
The whole radio subsystem would crash occasionally, and so you would see
it would reboot.
You would see it lose all the bars. And they were announcing this partnership with Singular, and they didn't want to offend people there.
So full credit here. This is Fred Vogelstein, who's a contributing editor at Wired, and it is an excerpt from a book called Dogfight, How Apple and Google Went to War and Started a Revolution. And so credit, I'm going to read that book when it comes out. Great reporting. It's an interview with Andy Grignion, who was one of the chief engineers of the radios inside the first iPhone.
It talks about the best part. They were drinking in the audience as their items
every time the demo worked.
Yeah, because as each engineer, when his part cleared and was fine, he would be handed the flask and he would take a drink. Yeah.
The other cool thing was they knew that. Remember, this was not like in town hall. This wasn't like 150 people. This was 4,000 people.
Macworld Expo.
And,
yeah,
right, exactly. And so they're trying to figure out how are we going to be able to get access to Wi-Fi and make all of this work with 5,000 people like in this noisy environment. They wound up hacking their own code so that it appeared to the airport base station to be a Japanese phone because
you could do higher channel
Wi-Fi channels that aren't available and used in the U.S.
So crazy. The FCC they probably had to pay like a $500 fine to the FCC for that one, but probably money well spent.
By the end, Grignion wasn't just relieved; he was drunk. He'd brought a flask of scotch to calm his nerves, and so there we were in the fifth row or something. Engineers, managers, all of us doing shots of scotch. But, you know, meanwhile we're all sitting back a little bit, not noticing this. Every segment of the demo, there were about 5 or 6 of us, and after every piece of the demo, the person who was responsible for that portion did a shot. They did not expect this to go flawlessly. And by the way, Steve, as we all know, if something doesn't go flawlessly, he'd say things like, you're effing up my company. He'd look right at you during the rehearsals. You're effing up my company.
Well, and on stage at Macworld in New York, he took a digital camera that wasn't working and like literally flung it into the audience.
But the takeaway from me from this was if you don't have a Steve Jobs, you don't have an iPhone. Because what they were trying to do was so hard, so impossible. Everybody had told Jobs, you can't do this. We can't do this. Jobs said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to deal with phone companies. But he literally, I feel like, muscled this through.
He willed it into existence.
And I don't know if any other company or any other guy could do this. There are maybe a Jeff Bezos. There are very few people who could say, no, I know it's impossible, and we're still going
to
do it.
Well, and to have the restraint to not do it until it was close enough that the technology to make that phone existed. Because I was thinking about this. They were talking about doing something that was more based on the iPod. And I thought, what would the world have been like if Apple had come out with its first iPhone in 2004 and it had been based on the iPod and it had been using that Pixel OS?
It would have been the Motorola Rocker.
And and it would not have been a good experience. No. And they restrained themselves until 2007 when they were ready. And I think about that. You mentioned Jeff Bezos. I mean, it's a question about something like the Kindle. Would the Kindle, I mean, the Kindle's done okay, but would they have benefited from having the restraint to say, I know you're excited about this, but it's not good enough. Let's wait 2 more years. It's such a hard thing to argue that we're going to stay out of the market and continue spending money building this product until it's ready. And that's clearly what happened with the iPhone.
That's not quite the same thing, though. I mean, I think that the ideal company has a mixture of both approaches. I like the fact that people who are not just early adopters, but early believers, early people who have an early belief in digital books, were willing to spend close to $400 for an ebook reader with not a huge library of titles, and they were the people who were able to just like the owners of Teslas and Chevy Volts these days. They are the people who enable establish the credibility so that when the next more practical device comes along, more people can get on board. And right now we've got a Kindle exactly as good as the first one that cost $69-70. So I'm not sure if they had waited for it to be perfect, they would have had a really beautiful $300 device that maybe would not have been able to compete in this marketplace.
Well, I'm not saying wait till be perfect. Perfect, but I think that you can do damage to a product category if you come out with something bad. I think the Newton, although it was an interesting product, did some damage to the handheld category. And I bought the first Kindle and I returned it. It was terrible. I think they should have probably waited a year. I'm not saying wait till it's perfect. The Kindle's still not perfect, but I think I just wanted to use that as an example that I think the iPhone story would have been very different if they had come up with a weird iPod-based iPhone 2 or 3 years earlier. And I like that they waited, and I think that's because Steve Jobs just, you know, he had that sense of timing and he knew what he wanted and it wasn't ready. Yeah.
And this is not to deprecate the brilliant engineers who created this thing, but without a general to say we're going over that hill, those engineers don't do it without somebody who collects them into a body and he was doing this.
Multi-touch hadn't been done. I mean, they were, for them to do that, that required somebody to say, I don't care, we're going to do multi-touch.
And, if you haven't read this article, read this article. It will give you a new appreciation, A, for what the iPhone is, for the revolution that it created, and for the man who made it possible. And I think there's no denying the
it's amazing powers. When you talk to the people who were involved at the time, the combination of relentlessness and patience. Like, he would just wait and wait, but he wasn't sitting there waiting. He was forcing you to do better and better each time, and he was willing to drive you that hard, but wait for you to get there at the same time, and that seems to have been a very good combination.
Yeah. You remember that picture that Steve showed at the keynote. He said, we made an iPhone, it looks like this, and everybody laughed, but what we're learning from this article is, in fact, it could have looked like that. They were looking at doing an iPod using the click wheel to dial.
Those are some of the early Apple phone, there were Apple phone rumors, and we see why, as they were actually working on this stuff. There were Apple phone rumors for like 5 or 10 years before the iPhone came out, and one of the strong rumors was this. Somebody obviously had gotten wind of a click wheel-based iPod phone, which would have been really weird, but
that was a Tony Fadell model, right? The big disagreement between Tony Fadell.
Tony wanted this. Tony was the designer, the original guy behind the iPod.
Right.
So naturally, he said, "I want this to be an iPod."
He thought it would be an extension of the iPod.
Who is the guy doing this with the iWatch? Is it Johnny Ive? Because you need that guy, and I don't think it's Tim Cook.
Bob Mansfield.
Is it Bob Mansfield? Well, he's gone now, isn't he?
I don't think there's one guy, right?
But you need that guy. You need the guy who has the respect of the engineers to go in there and say, you're effing up my company. And instead of the guy saying, well, F you, I'm out of here, saying, you're right, Steve, I'm going to work harder for you.
I think more than that, you need a leader who can absolutely convince the people who are pulling 90-hour weeks and are not attending their kids' recitals and their soccer games, that what you're doing is a really, really important thing that the entire company's future is based on.
You're
this is not an
world.
Idea that we're playing with. This is something we're actually making, and we're and your work will either lead to one of our greatest successes of 2014 or one of the reasons why in 2015 we were not able to compete with other companies right now. If you can do that, that's what'll get people to phone home and say, I'm sorry, start dinner without me. I got to work another 3 hours.
I don't even think I don't think it's the company. I think you have to say, you're going to change. It's what Steve said to John Sculley. You're going to change the world.
I'm not sure if that'll work twice.
That universe is today.
Also, see, not only that was it, you'll change the world, but you'll change the world and look at this big truck full of money.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think that the really good people are not motivated by bucks, not motivated by transforming the company, but might be motivated by creating a product that changes the world, that makes a huge difference. That is the best, to me, that's the best motivator, and the best people are the ones who are going to be motivated by that, and that's the ones you want.
I think you're very, very close. I think it's more like everybody wants to do something that matters, okay? It doesn't even have to be a revolutionary device that changes the entire planet. It's where you create something that has not been done yet, that needs to have been made, and that is an opportunity that you will not get in any other job at any other company. You are here at Apple right now with the resources of this incredibly creative company, and this company that will take risks on future forward thinking to do this one thing. And maybe you're not going to still be at Apple 5 years from now, but the first generation watch or the first generation cable box or the first generation whatever they're working on will always be a landmark moment in history. And again, maybe, you know, how many people are still using their original iPods, their original iPhones now? Not many. So the influence of that one product is certainly over and done with. But it's important to believe that what you're doing right now matters and is important. And that's an opportunity that few companies can give you. And Apple is one of those few companies in tech right now.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that there's a guy who's there who can also motivate. It's not enough to know that. By the way, this is not going to change the world.
Fox News shrinks humans.
It's not the way broadcast news is presented to the people. And it's in
this. Leah, where are our giant tablets?
This is the strange. This, of all the things that I saw when I was on this trip, this was the weirdest one. This is.
I thought that was a Photoshop. I honestly did.
I thought it was the Onion.
Me too.
So this is Fox News. What's his name?
Shepard Smith. Yeah.
Is getting a new show. It's not for all of Fox News. It's just for Shepard.
Yeah, he's got it. This is their new set.
They've built a new set. And the set involves 55-inch.
Yeah, they're what used to be Surface. It's these Microsoft Windows-based.
Do we know that? Is it Surface?
It's a giant Microsoft touch screen.
Windows 8, yeah.
Running Windows 8. Yeah.
It is the most. I feel so sorry for the people using this thing because, well, if you take a look at it, it's 1080p. It's not 4K. I mean, so the Twitter feed is huge, and some guy has to sit like a foot away from it.
And there are four tweets on the screen at once.
I honestly think.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. This is crazy.
A year from now, if you visit like a friend, like in the who works like at Fox in the studios, you will see like every third cubicle will have like a 58-inch display because we turned on that studio and whoever wanted one for $50, just get it out of the studio. let's live down this shame.
I give it a month.
Yeah, the tablet thing is it's weird because they do look like tiny humans. I mean, I think that's the big problem there.
And by the way, these are actors. I can promise you, having been on many a network news set, these are not real people. They don't use real people because real people do things like pick their nose or get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of a broadcast. These will be actors, and so nobody's really going to be using these giant screens. The people in the back using real computers with mice and keyboards. Right. And by the way, this is my argument against touch computing in general. If you really want to get work done, give me a keyboard and a mouse and a screen that's at arm's length and this big because that's crazy.
So the part of this that I like, and Clayton Morris, who's a really good guy, was talking about it, and he's a coworker of Shepard Smith's. He said that one of the things that it'll allow Shepard Smith to do is sort of call up his own information, basically be his own producer, his own director.
So he gives a little demo.
So good
of
for
that.
Him, but the people in the background, it's just so strange.
Show this some more. This is
it's ludicrous.
Touchscreen computers, any one of which we can put
like
on
an Austin
the air
Powers movie.
At a moment.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It is so crazy. And then
hey,
shows.
Hey, Mom, look at me. I got a tablet.
There's a demo coming up in a bit where Shepard shows how he can manage the news using a simple device that looks oddly like a television remote control. Wait a minute. Let's get to this here. I don't know how anybody's going to watch this and take this seriously, but and it has nothing to do with Macintosh. But when I saw this, I said, this is crazy.
It could be running away.
This is television. This is mainstream TV trying to be hip and cool.
Well, our brain wants to think that those are iPads.
Yeah.
Except then there's a guy sitting in front of it and
Lilliputian iPads.
What are we seeing? Yeah. Brobdingnagian iPads.
Whoa. They get a little Gulliver's Travel in there, huh?
Had to do it.
Yep, little Willem Dafoe. No, not Willem Dafoe. That's the other guy. Daniel. Okay, wait a minute. Watch, watch. Shepard's going to use his...
This is a piece of equipment that's been installed and never been
used on
television before. But it allows me to manipulate this 38-foot-long video wall.
We call it the clicker.
For instance, I can take this picture and bring it over here. Take this lady who's been evacuating hurricane zone and move it over here.
She took that lady who's been evacuated from her hurricane and moved her right...
Give
Look
you
at
an
that.
Idea of what's happening in a certain area. We'll use all of these.
All right, that's enough. Thank
it's showbiz.
You, Shepard. It's showbiz. It's showbiz. And they say the reason they're doing it is because there's a whole new world of television viewers who don't watch linearly. They're on Twitter. They're doing this. They're doing
that.
Yeah,
but then they're watching linearly a guy who's flipping around.
And by the way,
I'm not sure that premise really follows.
That's not who's watching Fox News. It's all little old ladies who are going to go, why are those little people on TV?
Yeah, it's just like they do this for the presidential elections, right, where there's a big touchscreen and somebody's like...
Or Jessica Yellen on the CNN 3D holograph. She's just in the other room, you know.
Yeah.
And 3D... Jessica's in...
It's showbiz.
It's showbiz.
Tony
and
Stark
not that we would ever do that.
But.
It's kind of too bad, though. Stepping back a little bit, I mean, wouldn't it be cool if they, instead of having like the 5,000 fingers of Dr. T or whatever, they had a four people with actual 4K screens where they can actually be creating, using them to their advantage, where here's a large touch screen, which is a huge surface in which if they got information they need to keep over there, they access it, then put it over there. They keep pictures, they keep video, they have content, they have access to pretty much whatever they want. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting if that were in the background and people could see people using multi-touch in a very effective and productive way for time critical sort of stuff? Wouldn't that kind of have an influence on how people think about computing? But of course, but as it is right now, it's just a stupid blown opportunity. This is something you'd get like from the SkyMall catalog that you're using right now. This is not a good ambassador for multi-touch.
Shepard says, leave
those glasses at home. You've got your giant iPad.
Here at the studio, Shepard says, we call these big area touchscreens. No, they call them big ass tablets.
Yes.
If you want to say the word ASS on nightly news. Wow. All right, I had nothing to do with Apple. I want to talk about OS X Mavericks and a lot more. You're watching Mac Break Weekly. Yes, I'm back in studio. Sorry. Derailing discussions once again. Andy Inoko from the Chicago Sun-Times. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. From Macworld and PC World, of course, Mr. Jason Snell. Hola. Well, see, if I do it now, hello's okay, but ciao. If I do it now, is it going to be
no.
In Italian?
No.
God, that was a giant. That 55-inch screen.
It knows that's a U.S.
I got to wait until it says,
no,
I don't.
Do it now. Do it now. See what happens.
No, it'll be in Chinese. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to wait. Hello, that's my language. Hola.
Do it.
Do it? Really? Oh, see, it didn't.
Oh,
it wouldn't
just,
even let
ruined
me.
Ruined everything.
It always goes back to hello. It does know I'm American, doesn't it? Yeah. I have to say, if you do the iOS 7 upgrade, or if you haven't done it and you're doing it to existing material, oh, good, now let's do it in Arabic. Oh. You do have to, and this is very frustrating. It's as if it's a brand new hardware.
Not always.
It did on all my stuff.
7.2 didn't do that to me.
Yeah, it does
no,
it when
no,
it
no,
needs
no, no,
to.
No. The first time it goes to iOS 7, it does that.
Yeah.
Not 7.0.2.
Right.
But I'm just saying, if you're going from 6 to 7, be prepared because you're basically going to be having a brand new machine, in effect. You've got to
authentication. I mean, if apps and data that are in place will remain in place, no?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But you have to go through a whole bunch of stuff to get it going again.
It's not as onerous. You have to sign in. You have to reestablish that reconnect really to your iTunes Store account.
Yeah.
And also reaffirm that yes, I do want location services to be turned on. Yes, I do want this other service to be turned on. It wasn't bad. Also maybe this is not if when you think about it, maybe it's kind of okay that your first introduction to iOS is not boom, here is your operating system for your phone. It is, we're going to walk you through some screens. We're going to sort of desensitize you to this new font and this new color scheme. We will try to get you to not freak out by the fact that the next button is not a button that is a highlighted and shadowed. It is actually just the word next in the upper right-hand corner of the screen.
One thing I do appreciate, and although I don't know if everybody will appreciate this, is uniformly everybody who gets a new iOS 7 device has to create a password code, right? You cannot skip. I can't skip this step. You have to create a new passcode. Oh, wait a minute. No, there it says don't add passcode. Yeah, but it's in little.
You're
you know,
you're strongly encouraged to.
Strong, and I think that's probably good, right?
Yep.
You can turn off locking if you don't want to do that. But I think that that's a nice pro security step. All right, so you're right. It's not. It wasn't too bad. I was able to do it while I was talking. It does tell you the spotlight has moved. That's probably the single biggest point of confusion. You can't swipe left anymore. You have to just kind of.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake.
And people there are miss few the tweet buttons.
Yeah,
and people
are a few things I think are mistakes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry.
No, they miss their tweet and Facebook buttons on Notification Center. Oh. That's the biggest complaint I've been getting.
Really?
Yeah. I never thought they belonged there, but apparently, once you give someone something, taking it away is bad.
Huh. Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. We can talk more about that if you wish. We could talk about other things, of course, and the new Johnny Ive Leica camera.
Are you bidding, Leo?
How much? We'll check. It is. It's for a good cause. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle.com. We couldn't have been better timing. If you want one of these and you got one of these, that's when you need to know Gazelle. If you've got an old iPhone and you want a new iPhone, if you've got some other phone, a Galaxy S4, and you want to get a new iPhone 5S, you got to go to G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, Gazelle.com. It's the fast and easy way to sell your existing gadget and get cash. I mean, it's really kind of cool. I've been telling everybody to go to Gazelle for the last couple of months, knowing that a new iPhone was on the way. I'm pretty sure, although we'll ask this esteemed panel in a moment, that there's a new iPad on the way. Now might be a good time to get a price for your old iPad. You get paid in cash payments fast, but here's the point. You can get this quote right now, and it's good for 30 days. So if Apple does release an iPad in the next 30 days, if they're going to, it'll be in the next 30 days. Look at that, $200 for that third generation. It's an old one, 32 gig Wi-Fi, $200. That's pretty good. Is that what you have, Chad? We got to get you a new one.
That's what I have, yeah.
Man, you need a new iPad, dude.
Not even 3G or anything.
Golly. Go to Gazelle.com, find your item. They buy even broken iPhones and iPads. They'll buy Samsung, BlackBerry. They'll buy Windows 8 Surface RT tablets even. Don't know where they sell those. But they'll find somewhere. And then you get a payment in cash or PayPal, or if you use Amazon a lot, this is the best deal. Get it. And oh, wow, for that iPhone 5, 16 gig, $270. That's going to get me the new iPhone. That's awesome. You can get paid in the Amazon gift card that gives you an extra 5%. So what's your iPhone worth? What's your iPad worth? Take a minute, go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now, because I can guarantee you it's not getting more valuable. It's one thing I do know. These things do not get more valuable in time. Gazelle.com. Subsidize your habit. So the new Johnny Ive Leica doesn't... You know, I don't know if this is a good idea. I think Johnny should... The reason you spend a lot of money on a Leica is you want it to look like a Leica.
But if there's only one of them, and only you can have it, and you can prevent your friends from having it.
There's only one, huh?
Isn't it a one-off?
I want to bang my internet. Oh, I know why. I'm using Chrome. Let me go back to Safari. I used Chrome on the trip, but I don't want to use Chrome anymore on this. Do you find that Macs don't work well with Chrome?
No, I know a lot of Mac users who really like
it. It doesn't work for me for some reason.
I prefer it. My Mac got so much more stable when I switched to Chrome as my primary as opposed to Safari.
Really?
I use Safari, but I use Chrome as my backup.
Oh, it's just me then. But for some reason, there it is. Oh, that's pretty. What did Johnny do to this different? It actually looks like a Leica. Oh, it's got texture.
Aluminium
and texture.
What you don't know is that that entire camera, including the lens, is actually milled out of a single block of aluminum.
It actually kind of looks like maybe a Mac Pro with the little cheese grater.
Laser machined aluminum body and anodized aluminum shell.
Ooh, that is pretty.
Once the lasers and aluminum, that is, if Johnny Ive were ever to be a James Bond supervillain,
and it's to benefit laser. Product Red
and some aluminium.
And how much? So the deal is, it's just as an auction. Or do you have to, or what's the deal? Anybody know?
Auction.
I believe it's a one-off, isn't it?
But how do I get it?
Oh, it is an. I think it is an auction.
Oh, that's pretty. You know what? Johnny's got chops. The dude can do it.
He's very employable.
If anybody ever wants a good designer, I can highly recommend Sir Johnny Ive.
Sir Johnny.
Yeah, something occurred to me that when Prince Charles got his title, they made for him this very 1960s design crown, and so we're probably gonna we're gonna see the next generation need a new crown. What if they got Johnny Ive to design an actual crown for the next king?
A crown jewels. We've reimagined what a crown could be.
It is the lightest crown ever made, shaving over 18 pounds, given that we're no longer stealing jewels from our former cousins.
It'll be auctioned at Sotheby's November 13th to raise money for Product Red, the global fund to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and I thought I said marijuana, but it's malaria. 561 of them. Nearly a total of 561 models and nearly 1,000 prototypes to create one camera. And Bono has already praised it. That's pretty cool. So we don't know what it's going to go for. But if you want to get it, go to Sotheby's on November 23rd. I just might point out my birthday is November 29th.
Bring your checkbook.
What do you get for a guy who has anything? Everything. You get him a Johnny Ive Leica. OS 10 Mavericks, solid gold, baby. We're talking the Gold Master. It's out for developers.
Yeah, if it means it's coming soon.
Any day now. What do you think? What's your prediction? That's, by the way, that's 5 days ago it came out. So yeah. I'm still catching up, you understand.
Ships with Mac Pro, you think?
Yeah. I figure Apple's event. Now, did they slipstream new iMacs? Somebody told me that.
Yeah, they're new iMac speed bumps that are with Mountain Lion.
Okay, with Mountain Lion.
With Mountain Lion.
So
they didn't wait for Mavericks for those.
But to me, when I heard that, it sounded like they were clearing the decks for a... Because last year, remember, they updated everything that they hadn't updated, which means everything but the iPhone,
right,
in this big October announcement on October 23rd. So that means they're not going to do that, or they wanted to get the iMac, big deal, not a big deal. We want to do Mac Pro, Haswell MacBooks, and a Retina iPad Mini.
Maybe if they do the Macs and the iPad together, which they might not. I mean, the Mac Pro is such a strange product that they could do a small event or no event at all and do that then. I mean, that's the question. Do they want to mix the Mac with the iPad?
They made so much. They've been buying ads in movie theaters for the Mac Pro. This is not a small thing.
But also, it depends on what kind of message they want to send for the
Innovate
company. That's exactly what I'm getting at. I mean, it's a really weird, super, super powerful. It is a velocity cannon in both physical form and in processing power. And if they want to simply say, we have our MacBook Airs, which look much, our MacBooks look much like they did last year, but they have new processors, and we have a new this, that, and the other, new iPad that looks much the same, only we have a new, better processor. If they can say, and by the way, here is our velocity ion cannon computer of a desktop.
I want it. Just the name.
Pray we do not alter our bargain further.
Okay, Rene Ritchie, rumor master. What have you heard? I thought it was awfully quiet there in Montreal. Rene has been constrained by the Canadian government from speaking. Go ahead. Nope.
You're muted, Rene.
Rene, did you sit on something?
Sorry. I somehow got put it. I was being prevented. The new iPad, I think, is going to be a big deal because it gets the new casing design. It's going to be lighter. It's going to have smaller bezels. It's going to look different. And when Apple makes products look different, usually they get much more attention than when they just spec bump them internally. You know, it's the tick to the TikTok cycle gets them all the excitement. And then the Mac Pro is going to be a huge deal, too, just because it's exactly what Andy said. It's Apple showing that they can make the hypercar still, that they can do the big, amazing thing in technology. So if you have an October event that has the iPad 5, the Retina iPad Mini, and the Mac Pro, and by the way, we're Haswell bumping, you know, the rest of the lineup, I think that's a really exciting event.
Is it possible they won't have an event this year?
No, I think they'll definitely have an event. My skepticism is only about the Mac Pro and whether they do it as a part of that event or they do another little Mac Pro something in November. Mac Pro is much less of a holiday season kind of product. So they could put it off. It doesn't mean they will necessarily, but they could put it off. But I think that
they said it would be out this year.
iPad and iPod Touch, again, it's not a holiday. They don't need to fill the channel for the holiday.
Well, they're not going to announce it December 31st.
No, but they could do it. They could do it in November or even December if they wanted.
A third event,
maybe. But they could pack it all in late October.
It depends how much money they want to report in the holiday quarter.
It does feel like a good thing to put on stage, given that they're going to have a lot of new tools and a lot of production stuff that has never been seen before. I think the Mac Pro is going to demo really, really well. If you think about the sort of companies they will invite on stage and say, we gave Mac Pros to a few selected developers to see how they could make best use of the exciting new possibilities of it. And here is our liaison for the NSA who can now do keyword searches on 100,000 phone calls a second instead of just 10.
Well, Mavericks, they can make a big deal about Mavericks too, right? They can say, here's Mavericks, it's great. Yeah. Here's the Mac Pro, it's great. This is, you know, we've also speed bumped these other things. The Retina MacBook Pro is so great. And then, you know, whether they do that and then also pivot, that's an exciting word, and say, we're going to talk about the new iPads too, or whether they kind of like do that in separate chapters, there's certainly a lot to talk about, right?
Is Final Cut Pro worth a demo, or is it just going to be, you know, made aware for the Mac Pro? I mean, if they've got new versions of their Pro Tools, they probably want to show them off. But if they're just made to work with the Mac Pro, then it's not as big a demo.
But they're going to want to show off the power of the Mac Pro, and that means they're going to need to do software demos. So that may be where something like Final Cut comes out, just because they've already boasted that the Final Cut stuff is going to be so much better on the new Mac Pro. And so if that's the case, then they're going to want to do the demo just to show off the power of the Mac Pro. Because a lot of apps are not going to look that different on the new Mac Pro. You're going to want the ones that really take advantage of it.
Well, you know what my conspiracy theory is they're going to bundle Pro apps on this new Mac Pro. Right? So they'll have... You're exactly right. Final Cut Pro. They did just update Logic, so that's not...
Right. But they could still demo it. I mean, it's not necessarily an announcement so much as just showcasing all the pro apps.
Yeah, this is a pro app, pro hardware with pro apps, and it's all bundled. I think that makes sense to me, but we'll see.
They have a new version of iWork apps finally. What was the last one, Jason? iWork
2009.
They also have iWork in the cloud.
No, 09.
Version of those apps. 09, yes, but 2009.
97, 83? Apple Works. No, iWork 09 is my current.
Yeah.
It's as timely as the day's headlines.
It's still good.
It's fine.
You know what they're going to do, though, is they're going to focus on, I predict, just as Microsoft has, on the online portion of this, right?
And they've done that.
And it's beautiful.
They've got their web apps and they've got their iOS apps, but the Mac apps could probably stand a refresh.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
4K displays. Leo, you going to Apple-branded 4K displays for the new Mac Pro?
Well, you did see that they hired Jean-François Mullet.
Ooh la la.
He's from Cable Labs, where he was...
those are the cable card people.
Senior Vice President of Technology Development. Why would you hire a guy like that to head an unnamed engineering project? Something big.
I think that would be a TV-related project.
You think it's going to be a set-top box?
I agree with Renee, though, that that new Mac Pro, you really want to see a Retina or 4K or both display as a part of that story.
Can they make something, a Retina display that big?
Well, the 4K is not Retina display, which might be an easy out for them because they couldn't do it with the iMacs, and the iMacs usually get it first. But 4K, like 2160p is not what a Retina 27-inch screen would really work out to, so it's sort of an easy out.
Are there... I mean, I know you can buy TVs at 4K TVs, but they're pretty... Well, wait a minute. No, there's a cheap one, though. There's like $1,000, $1,800 one.
Yeah, there's really cheap ones, but they only go to 30. The refresh rate's only 30, which is horrible. Yeah.
And the HDMI has to be updated. It doesn't support it. You'd have to get the new HDMI, although I presume this Mac Pro will support
that.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that the Mac Pro is going to be targeted to anybody who is looking to pinch pennies anywhere. So I think that I'm serious. I mean, that's where if you want if they do come up with a 4K display for an Apple branded 4K display, there that bezel that housing is going to cost a lot of money to produce because people are going to be wanting to buy a premium product with no compromises about it.
This is the Seiki 50 inch 4K for under $1,000. Now, obviously, this is a panel that Apple's would never sell.
No.
But maybe there's somebody making this panel at a higher quality. No.
Renee's right. Imagine a 27-inch 4K display, Thunderbolt display, essentially.
I'd buy that.
And that'll cost... What does the Thunderbolt display cost? I mean, that's a what, $2,000?
No, it's $1,000.
That's $1,000.
No, no, I mean the 4K version.
So make it 2,000. Oh, big deal. 2,000. You're already spending $5,000
on the $5,000 on the Mac Pro, yeah.
And you get the free that's why you want the free Final Cut 10.
Sure, just throw it in there.
We're throwing in the software just because you're such a nice. I know
you're
how it works. I was in the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul. I know exactly how this works.
Here, take Aperture. Take Logic Pro.
Here, Aperture. How much would you pay?
Have some tea while we sit and discuss this new monitor you're
exactly.
buying.
By the way, DHL is going to come with a bunch of boxes in a few days because I fell for it.
Do you really think 27 inches? I would imagine that, again, high expensive premium product, people who really want to be impressed with a large display, something that really shows off, I would never be able to appreciate that level of detail.
30?
On any sort of things.
38? 42?
I've heard rumors over 30, but I never know what the TV rumor is because they're all just so many of them.
Yeah. But is this the Apple TV? No, it's a panel.
But it depends on what they want to do, right? They could do a smaller one and call it Retina and say it's true Retina on the desktop. Mm-hmm. Or they could do a bigger one and just say it's 4K and
touch.
Make it easier. Touch? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, see, the problem with the rumors about the television is that every time someone has said, it's always the same person, it's going to be an Apple television, it's like the first rumor about it ended up being the 27-inch iMac. So for Apple, they're working on that panel. And, just being a 4K panel does not mean at all a television set. But because you say 4K, it sounds to a lot of people like, Apple's working on a television set again.
Right. Well, I want to see an event. I know you're going to Ireland, but I want to see an event this month.
Sure. Just don't do it next week.
Would you come back?
If they do the event next week, I will not. I'll cancel my plans probably. So please make it the week after.
But
come
if
on,
it's
Apple.
The, if it's the 20,
watching this,
if
right?
It's, if it's the let's see, 15th, 22nd, would that be okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm there.
I think we would know by now. We would have invitations.
Jason, this is Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
This is Tim.
Hey, Jason. I just want to say Roll Tide and come home from
I watched the original iPhone keynote this weekend.
Me too.
Isn't that something?
After reading that New York Times article.
Isn't that something?
It is a thing to behold, especially now I know that the engineers were getting drunk in the fifth row.
It's his finest hour.
But the part that killed me is that one of the first sample phone calls is from Tim, and it's, hey, Steve, this is Tim. It's like, hey, it's Tim.
And then is this the one where he calls Starbucks and orders coffee for the entire
for the Mm-hmm.
And he
prank calls the sushi restaurant. Yeah. He says, I don't want to talk to them.
And now we know that the engineer said, no, don't make a call, Steve. Please don't make a call. That was the thing that was almost certain to crash it. And they went through many rehearsals, and it crashed every single time.
And they had Phil Schiller out in the audience.
I remember.
And they had to fight with the the feedback that they were getting over. He's like holding the phone like this, trying to keep the feedback out.
And Johnny was so happy to talk to Steve. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi.
Just so happy.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's great theater.
The demos crash every time on shipping products. Yeah. Steve Jobs can demo like the thing that doesn't work at all, makes a call. Bill Gates boots up a 4-year-old version of Windows and it crashes. So unfair.
It's like the Grateful Dead. You go to a Grateful Dead concert after Grateful Dead concert, and then suddenly you realize you were at the concert in 1977 in upstate New York that everybody agrees is the best concert ever. We were at, I think there's no question in my mind, not only Steve Jobs' finest hour, but there will never be a keynote, a demo as good as that ever again. That was it.
It's the definitive tech.
That was
demo.
The Grateful Dead 1972.
Well, I think that the iPhone keynote and the iPad keynote were like Sergeant Pepper and Revolver.
Okay.
It's like once you've got those two, they're the two best for two very different reasons, but they're both for the same reason of you see a man who is one of the most powerful people in the world, one of the richest men in the world, but he is like a 14-year-old kid showing off this awesome action figure that he got.
I'm going to put a word in for the original iPod event, which was at the Town Hall Little Theater.
I was at that event, and that was
not a guy at the top of his game, right? I was watching this guy, and we're like, okay, Steve, try to prove this to us. It's like there was huge skepticism.
Right.
Really, Apple's going to do a music player? And Steve Jobs had to do full salesman. Like, let me explain why we even bothered to do that. With the iPhone, it's like, hey, we're Apple. We're going to do crazy stuff like this. With the iPod, it was
that was like the Beatles at Shea Stadium. It was the beginning. You knew.
It was please me.
Please. So did Kutcher nail that in the movie? Because that's how the Ashton Kutcher movies. No,
and it's not. And it's not actually that event. It's like some event that may or may not have happened. That was to the people who worked at Apple. Oh, wasn't the same.
I have it in my
it was
pocket.
Disturbing.
He said
it was a great. Yeah. But there, they were trying to prove something. And the iPhone, he was, and he's exactly right. Top of his game.
It was Sinatra at the Sands.
Powers. Yeah. Master of his craft at the height of his powers.
Yep. And also with 4,000 people who knew that something amazing was going to happen.
Oh, I'm sitting there with Scott Bourne, who could was actually floating off of
his seat.
Didn't
he throw his palm trio on the floor and stomp on it? Isn't that the urban legend?
Was Scott, Alex Lindsay, I was Merlin there, I can't remember, but it was the original MacBreak Weekly crew. We're sitting in a row, and I will never forget it. And when he goes, it's an iPhone. It's an internet
device.
You getting it? And it was like, what? My brain. What else? Anything else we want to talk about before we move on to the picks of the week? Oh, Retina. Retina iPad mini. Is that possible? Renee, you've been poo-pooing it.
No, it's not that I'm poo-pooing it. It's that it's a non-trivial thing. And I know when the Nexus 7 came out, everyone said, well, if Google can do it, why can't Apple? And you have to look very carefully and see that a Retina Nexus 7 has, you know, only 75% of the pixels and gets only 7 hours compared to 10 hours of battery life. Apple's had a prototype for the Retina iPad mini for almost a year, but they're not going to release it till it has 10 hours of battery life. And that's not... You know, that's not easy to do. Previously, you could have Retina, you could have lightness, or you could have battery life, and you get to pick two of them. Right. So the big iPad had battery life and Retina, but no lightness. The mini had lightness and battery life, but no Retina. And now it sounds like they finally got both the iPad 5 with, you know, the big screen, and it's much lighter now, and the iPad mini, and it's got Retina now. So there might be constraints like there were with any new iPhone, because Retina is really, really hard to do, but it sounds like they've gotten there.
Analyst at Canaccord Genuity, I think they should change your name.
That's a really bad name.
Just between us. Says that the iPhone 5S is outselling the Galaxy S4 at both AT&T and Sprint. In fact, the iPhone 5C is also outselling the Galaxy S4. No question, I guess, assuming this analyst is correct, and I see no reason not to think so, that the iPhone, Apple's done it again.
They sold 9 million the first weekend while you were gone, Leo.
Really? Is that the number?
Yeah.
Huge.
Holy camoly.
But this is the same reason why we also ignore the numbers about how badly the iPhone was being outsold during the first week of Samsung's latest phone. But I mean, they're two very different phones, two very different markets. There's nothing. It was even kind of hard to find with the usual doubting Thomases from certain publications denying that the iPhone 5S was anything less than a complete success.
Did they break apart? I'm looking at the press release. Did they break it down between S and C?
No.
It's 9 million total.
But they always, every year they report the total amount, and every year they have three models.
Does anybody have any insight into the success of the C? It's never been out of stock. And maybe that's because it's easier to make. I don't know.
They're already ramped up from the iPhone 5, and it's the same stuff that was in the 5.
It's way easier to make, and they meant it to be a lot. It's not supposed to be the iPhone that people line up for. It's supposed to be the colorful one on the shelf that you walk into the store for months and months to come and just want to buy it.
So presumably it's selling as well as the S?
Probably. I don't know, because there's this peak of all the frenzied people who are like really excited about the S, and those are the people who wait in line, and it's all of us tech nerds who are getting the S. I think the C, I hear people talking about it. I hear people getting it for the kids. In the long run, I think the C is going
to
sell better than the S. But in the short run, you've got this frenzy about the S. And so that's probably sold better so far.
The S sells to us.
Let's get through the holidays, and the C is going to be bananas. Yeah.
Come on.
I agree.
Cool.
I agree 100%. I think people who walk into the store in January, February, March, they're going to see, oh, wow, it's $100 less. Oh, wow, it's available in these really cool colors. Wow. Yeah. When they hold them both in their hands, they're going to see the same phone running the same operating system. And I think that most people are going to go for the 5C, and they'll go for the 5S if they have a reason to go for the 5S.
We were talking about how fast the 5S is, but the it's not as big a difference between the 5 and the 5S or the 5C and the 5S as it was between the 4S and the 5. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about somebody upgrading, they're on a 2-year contract, they're just coming off, they've got a 4S. And now Leo is licking his phone.
I'm curious if my tongue can I get my tongue.
So my point is, the people who are upgrading from the 4S, the 5C is going to be so much faster than the 4S that, you know, they're not going to feel that it's a compromise.
And the packaging is packaged like an iPod. They want you to see the color, and they want it to be there, very visual for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, down at $49 now at Best Buy and Walmart.
Yeah.
So it's going to be perceived as this value phone. They're going to sell a lot of them.
Yeah. It even the 5C even has that the iOS sticker on the front of it. Yes. That makes it look like it's running iOS. So now I've got like a fourth like window decal on my on my sunroom here. And those weren't things you'd see on the iPhone.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, all right.
It's not a less expensive iPhone. It's a pop iPhone.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of people who seem to believers really in the C after they held it. They said, you know what? This is pretty sweet.
You know, this morning I had the exact same experience I always have whenever I hand the 5C to someone who has never held one before. They are shocked it feels so solid. They are shocked it feels so good because the meme is that this is the cheap to produce plastic iPhone. It's like, no, it isn't. It happens made out of plastic. It costs $99, but it is a premium phone sold for $99.
Apple's never been in the business of making the super cheap thing that everybody. I mean, even when you said all those Nokia phones that you saw, you know, Apple's not going to replace most of the people who just want a phone. You know, those are going to be Android phones, not
iPhones. Stitching on those iPod socks were phenomenal.
Are you training it to recognize your tongue now? I don't think it's going to work.
Hard to get them on kiddies' feet, though.
You're fogging up the screen. Something awful there.
Probably she would have nipples. Well, just, right? Commercial.
No,
you just turned a dot red. You know that, Leo.
It's a bad idea.
It won't get more whorls.
It's really
gross. It doesn't work
because there are no whorls
really
on the tongue.
There's no whorls on the tongue. Somebody in the chat room said it will work.
It doesn't work with moisture. If the surface is wet, it won't work.
Oh. Oops, Leo, you clicked.
It'll work with your toes.
Was this just a ploy to make sure that no one else would try to take your iPhone 5S gold?
Yeah, I've licked it now. You can't have it. Yeah,
it belongs to you now.
It's mine. I've put my DNA all over it. Okay, last call. Any other stories that we should be talking? I'm sorry, I apologize, but I just really feel like I've been out of touch. And anything I missed?
Nope, this was fun.
I think we got it all.
Yeah.
I think we got it all. Somebody says it works with nipples.
Yes.
Wouldn't surprise me. Skin, yeah.
Any anatomy with a pattern on it, you can use.
I think unlocking it with your nipple would be inconvenient.
You can use your pit bull if you want.
My what?
Your pit bull, your dog, your cat.
I never called it a pit bull before. Is that what you call it? We're going to take a break. No, let's not. Let's just go on. Let's go on. Let's not stop. I'd like to stop. I wish I could stop. But I can't. We have no more commercials. So let's get our tip, our products of the week. And who shall I start with? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, kiny, miny. I think we'll start with Rene Ritchie today. Your product of the week, sir.
I have two. The first one, you know, Jason mentioned at the top of the show that we're going to be at the Singleton Symposium in Montreal. And even though I live in Montreal, I don't live in that part of Montreal, which means I'm going to be at a hotel for long stretches of time. And the iPhone battery, it's not a Razer Max. It's not one of those giant, you know, things. So what I do is I bought these last year. I bought two of them. It's the Mophie Juice Pack, the Duo.
That's
so
powerful.
It's got two USB. So there's one for me and one for a wayward American friend just visiting Montreal who didn't know that we have the same power outlets that they do.
Really? It's American in Canada?
Yeah, we use the same power. Different money, same power. So this is great. It'll recharge an iPhone twice. It'll also charge an iPad. So I have two of these with me. And I've also got, I saw this at CES and I didn't get one for a while, but I finally picked one up. It's the Element case for the iPad mini, and I'll hold it further away. And it's not a smart cover, but it's made with their typical, you know, sort of race car stylings, and it holds the iPad mini very well. It's got a nice interior. It's got a flap on the inside so that you can set it up like a stand. And if you want something that protects the back as well as the front, you know, some people get a lot of scratches on it and they don't like the Millennium Falcon chic that others of us enjoy. It's just a very nice, very solid, very well-made case for the iPad mini.
Very cool. Element case.
Yeah.
Jason Snell, your pick of the week.
1Password 4 came out.
Oh.
From Agile Bits, agilebits.com.
Yes.
It's a paid upgrade, or if you've never bought it, it's, you know, spend the money on it. It is, even with Mavericks coming out with some password memory kind of stuff. This is my preferred way of storing all my passwords. You have one master password. It locks all your other website passwords away. You don't have to remember them. You just have to remember the webmaster password. Syncs with iPhone, syncs with iPad. Works with Dropbox. If you're on some random computer somewhere, you can actually get – there's an HTML file hidden inside that you can launch, and it's like a web app.
Ooh.
Really versatile. It'll generate random passwords for you. You can put your credit cards in there. You can put your passport number in there. It's all strongly encrypted, and really I don't go anywhere without it now. That's where I keep all those numbers that I can't memorize. So even with Mavericks coming out with much better support, the iCloud keychain stuff, I really – it works with browser plugins. It's really great. So 1Password is my choice for staying secure. You don't want to use the same password on every website because if it gets cracked in one place, suddenly you're completely insecure. So what you want is different random passwords on all your different sites and then lock it all up with the 1Password that you use on your Mac or your iPhone.
Great product.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Andy Hanako, your pick of the week.
This is the Click Desk Stand by the Joy Factory for the iPad. Really nice, sturdy.
Really the Joy Factory. Desk stand. Really?
The Joy Factory, exactly. Well, apparently this is what joy looks like. If there's joy missing from your life, look around the house till you see something like this.
Pretty cool looking, yeah.
Or look at the rest of the stuff they've got on their catalog. Maybe you've had it laying around, you just didn't know what to call it.
Hey, that looks like something I saw on Fox News.
exactly. It's like
for Andy is giant.
Imagine like Fox News for squirrels. Zip zip. So back to the pick of the week. If you're using like your iPad for like home use, it's obviously really good if you're using it like on the desktop. For like typing, but also I have my older iPad in this because I've been using it in my living room as a source for streaming to my Apple TV. That has two really good features of it. Number one, this mount on the back of it, which allows you to rotate it pretty much like you can have it on the coffee table, then rotate it all the way up. So you can be like looking down as you do it, or just put a drink on top of it, which you shouldn't do, but you could do it. And also you can rotate it portrait and landscape. But the other nice thing about it is that, he said, trying not to drop his iPad, this actually removes completely, leaving behind just a simple, not terribly thin, but useful shell on your iPad so that, number one, you can actually go to the website and buy other of these little mounts so that I can take this out from the living room and then click it into a mount that I've screwed into like a kitchen cabinet and now use this in the kitchen like for Food Network stuff. Or... because they've left this area, the smart to cover hinge exposed, you can actually take it out, then take it into the car and take it to the work with you and just put your smart cover right back on it. So it's not terribly cheap. It's $59.99, but it's one of the few tabletop stands I've seen that is good for a number of different uses that doesn't basically lock your iPad into now suddenly only being a desk-mounted or cabinet-mounted or table-mounted iPad.
Cool. That's neat. I have an iPad stand, too. But before I do that, I want to do an anti-pick. I blew the fuse in every hotel room I checked into and the ship.
You were real popular.
Lisa couldn't believe it. She said, "You did it again?" I said, "Yes." And the reason is I kept plugging this in. It's a from TripLite. It's a mobile surge protector. I thought this was going to be great. You know, I had an adapter for it. It's a 3-prong plug, but of course in Europe they use those 2-prong plugs. I plugged it in. I should have looked more carefully. I mean, it calls it a travel adapter. Maybe even you recommended this, Andy. I can't remember,
no,
but
that wasn't me.
Yeah, you're right not to, because it's only 110. It is not 220. So every time I plug this in, power surged into it. And for some reason, their giant sparks would fly. And then the room would go dark. And I would have to embarrassedly call the front desk, the world's oldest hotel, and say, scusi, el powero outo. And fortunately, they were very kind about it. But this, don't bring this with you. It says it works in U.S. and Canada. So you could take it to Montreal with you.
Nice.
But nowhere else. It's TripLite makes great stuff. I should have read it more carefully. It says it's a traveler, but it's a traveler only if you don't go outside the U.S. or Canada. It requires 110 volts. It doesn't support 220. I found that out on the last day of the trip after blowing the final fuse. I realized you know, there might be this. Anyway, my pick of the week is this. It's an iPad stand, just like yours, Andy. I hope you don't mind. But I think this is going to bring you more happiness.
You want your joy. Here it is.
If you want joy, this iPad stand is suitable for the place where you probably use the iPad more than any other device, a special room. You know, one of the things in this New York Times article, it said is that Steve Jobs wanted a way to use his – he wanted a way to surf – well, anyway, it'll hold it better than that. I'm sure if I –
Can I just say that if you feel a need for this sort of device and a use for this device, you should be going to a better class of restaurant.
You see a toilet paper roll, you've already finished.
This is who's this? Who makes this? I don't know anything about it. It just appeared. B&H. What? B&H Photo sells this. It conveniently has a toilet paper roll and an iPad stand on a gooseneck, so you know. You can read it in any orientation.
Does it have a supplemental stand for sterile wipes?
there's another more expensive model that hooks into the water and is also a bidet, I think. Yeah. So
the Friedman.
How much was this? $40. I cannot wait to get this into my new home.
You can't put a price on that.
You can't put a price on that.
What says class like an iPad toilet paper? Okay.
If Archie Bunker were alive today.
Now, do you leave an iPad in it for your guests when they come over?
I think that's only fair if you have this in the guest bathroom anyway.
The sad news is that now we know that Steve really is gone because if you were alive and in hiding, he would come out of hiding to smash that with your face.
By the way, the good news, this does run iOS 7. So you're good there. Yeah.
The toilet paper is flat.
It is. This paper's a little skeuomorphic, but, you know, I think that's good in a toilet paper roll. You want a little skeuomorphism there. There it is, the CTA Digital Pedestal Stand with toilet paper.
It's part digital, part analog.
It's nice to see B&H, you know, branching out.
Musicians probably use this as a mic stand.
I have to tell you, everywhere we went, whenever I saw a band, even playing classical music, they all had iPads. Everybody used iPads for set lists, for lyrics, for music. It's become de rigueur on the performing stage. And in the bathroom. Bathrooms everywhere.
The acoustics are fantastic.
Different kind of performance stage.
By the way, this is a European roll of European toilet paper. Made to ISO standard 3042. It feels like sandpaper, and it is. Why do Europeans have tougher butts? What is it like in Canada? How is your toilet paper up there?
We have all the American brands you would love and imagine.
Okay.
Le Charmin.
Thank goodness that question was about Canadian toilet paper and not Canadian butts.
I'm sorry.
Dodged a bullet.
I just want everybody to know I'm back. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this fabulous edition of Mac Break Weekly. I want to thank Andy Iannocco from the Chicago Sun-Times for being here with his squirrel. I got to get you that picture of the Trojan squirrel. Actually, it might be on. What did I take that? It might be on here. I want to thank Renee Ritchie of iMore.com for being here. What is this springboard event? Tell me about that.
Springboard event?
What is it? This thing you're going up there for?
Singleton.
Oh, Singleton. Singleton. Singleton is a symposium run by Guy English, Luke Vandal, and Scott Morris. And it's basically in the spirit of the Apple Mac developer community. Everyone gets together and talks about.
Oh, that's neat.
Jason keynoted it last year.
Yep.
Oh.
So it's a really classy event.
Class. It's not a
classy
squirrel.
Is an iPad toilet paper stand.
But this is a duck from Istanbul, an Istanbul duck. Where is it? Oh, because I went full screen probably. How about that? Can you do it now?
No, I haven't seen your screen for a few minutes now.
Oh man. Oh,
well. It's a duck. I can verify it's a duck on a wall.
There's a squirrel here somewhere.
Turkish duck.
Two-form authentication of the duck.
Jason Snell is my duck verification expert and editorial director at PC World and Macworld.
Macworld. This is Mac Break Weekly. Let's talk about Macworld.
Forget PCs.
And listen to my podcast, theincomparable.com. Andy Iannocco's on it sometimes.
Really?
Renee Ritchie might be on it sometime.
Really? And what do you talk about on The Incomparable?
Oh, you know, geeky stuff. So books, TV, movies, sci-fi, fantasy, superheroes, comics.
Sounds good.
All that.
The occasional
radio
play.
Sure, the occasional radio play.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we did an old time radio play. We're actually doing one live at Singleton in Montreal.
Oh, I would have loved that.
I'll send you the link.
I love that kind of stuff. I'm still looking for my squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Squirrel. Quest.
Squirrel hunt.
I know it's here somewhere. It was a Trojan squirrel.
This is why I have a whole separate iPad just for the squirrel pictures.
You probably should.
It's high availability.
It's probably a good idea. Oh, there it is. But you can't see it.
No.
Dag nabbit. Is it me? Is it you? Is it life?
Well, there we go. Got it.
Oh, you got it. But that's not a squirrel now.
Well,
here's the squirrel. Happened? Here's the squirrel. This is a Trojan squirrel.
This is the money
on
shot.
The walls of Troy. Just for you, Andy and Akko. The Trojan squirrel. By the way, that's what Troy looks like. That's it. There's no Achilles. No.
At least they left their rock stacked very neatly.
That's,
I never get my recycling that nice.
I may be wrong. Check me if I'm wrong. I think that's layer 4. Layer 4 had better rocks than layer. There you go. There's a squirrel.
Wasn't layer 4 chocolate frosting and then they had the jump?
I don't think somewhere I have pictures of. This was an unfortunate. We thought this was our boat, and when we found out it wasn't, we were much relieved. All right. Anyway, I'll show. Not time to show pictures. We'll do that later. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Mac Break Weekly. We do this show every Tuesday at around 1800 UTC. I'm not going to even say West, East, Central. I'm a man of the world now. I'm doing everything in universal coordinated time.
Zulu.
Zulu. 1800 Zulu. You figure out what that means in your locality. If you can't watch live, we do love it if you're here, by the way, in the studio. Lots of wonderful studio audience today. Just email us, tickets@twit.tv. There's lots of room, right? But we'll put a chair out for you, and we'll have a nice little iPad stand ready for you so you can enjoy the show.
Bring your own paper, though.
It's meant to be enjoyed. If you're from Turkey, bring that sandpaper you like so much. And if you can't watch live or be here in studio live, you can always get on-demand audio and video after the fact. Just go to twit.tv/MBW for Mac Break Weekly or wherever find your podcasts. What are you laughing at? Mac Break.
No, at some point there's going to be an iPad with like Touch ID, and people are going to, some Weisenheimer is going to try to authenticate with something that I would definitely not approve of.
Already happened, Andy. Go to YouTube.
It's Pitbull. I'm telling you.
I'm sure it's already there.
Yep.
YouTube had that solved in 3 seconds after the launch event.
Does it have worlds? Does it have worlds? It's got to have unique worlds. How do you pronounce that word? Whirl.
Whirls.
Whirls. It's not whirl, it's whirl.
Whirls.
But it's pronounced whirl.
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Unique squirrels.
Squirrels. And I'm looking back at my pictures. A lot of pictures of rocks for some reason. It seems like all I did was look at rocks. Rocks everywhere. Sideways rocks.
Got the Instagram filter on them.
Welcome rocks. To Leo's Vacation Photos Weekly, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll be here for the next 2 hours.
This is what I spent 3 weeks doing, looking at rocks.
It's like an old-fashioned slideshow.
because Uncle Leo's here. He brought the slide projector.
And then we went up to the top of the stairs. And I took a picture. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Leo.
Back to work now. Break time is over.